The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and put your finger at verse 13. And as you're finding that passage this morning, I have a little confession to make. Carol and I are boring people. We live very boring lives. And to kind of let you know how boring we are, two of our most favorite channels on TV to watch is HGTV and the Food Network. Are you there? And if you've ever seen the Food Network, one of the programs that's on from time to time, and I think it's on right now, is Worst Cooks in America. And if you've never seen Worst Cooks in America, they take two celebrity chefs and about 16 people who are, in fact, the worst cooks in America. No culinary skills whatsoever. And they try to train them up in the culinary boot camp so that they wean them down to just two. And then at the end, they'll cook a high-end restaurant quality meal. But in one of the episodes, the celebrity chefs had divided their teams up and made them work together, not as individuals, but as a team. And as I'm watching the group dynamics of these individuals, I noticed that in one team, there was this one guy who started to assume a position of leadership. In other words, he was starting to boss everybody around. And finally, one of the contestants had turned to another contestant and said the seven words that I was thinking myself, who does this guy think he is? Now, have you ever said that about someone? Who does he think he is? Or who does she think he is? When it comes to Jesus Christ, it's not a matter of who Jesus thinks he is, but who do we say he is. In our passage today out of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked that very pointed and direct question, who do you say that I am? Let's read that together. Matthew chapter 16 verse 13. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I will also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We'll end our reading there. As we think about this passage, I think it's important for us to understand several truths, and that there are many different opinions about who Jesus is in the world. Even in Jesus' time, he asked that question, you know, who do the people say that the Son of Man is, by referencing to himself? And some of the opinions that the disciples said that they heard in conversations, I guess eavesdropping on the crowd, is that some said that you're John the Baptist. You are a fiery preacher of righteousness. And some say, no, he is Elijah. He is the one who stands up before the corrupt leadership. He speaks truth to power. And some say, no, he is Elijah. He is a compassionate, weeping prophet. Some say, oh, he's one of the great prophets. He speaks the word of God with power and authority. And some of the other opinions in Jesus' day, the Pharisees said that he has a demon. His own family said that he's mentally disturbed. Others like Nicodemus said that he's a great teacher. And even today, there are many modern opinions of who Jesus is. Others like Nicodemus say that Jesus was simply a great teacher. Some say he was a good man who set a good moral example. There are some that would say that Jesus is a great prophet. You know, Islam recognizes Jesus as a prophet, but they recognize him as a lesser prophet than Muhammad. Some say that he was confused and misguided soul. Some would say that he's a failed religious reformer. Some today would say that Jesus, if he really is a real person, is like a myth or a legend along the lines of John Bunyan or Johnny Appleseed. You know, they were real people, you know, but what they did has just been blown out of proportion through history. And what I find oftentimes today is people try to fit Jesus into the mold of who they want him to be. And so we have some today that try to fit Jesus into their own political perspective. Some would say that, you know, there's the Republican Jesus that's, you know, for tax cuts. And there's the Democrat Jesus that's for raising taxes and socking it to the rich. And then there are those that say that Jesus is like a therapist. He helps us to cope with life's problems, heal from our past, and help us to live our best life now. And then there are those who believe in an open-minded Jesus who loves everyone, judges no one, except for those that perhaps aren't as open-minded as some would like. And then there's the touchdown Jesus, who helps athletes run faster, jump higher than the non-Christian athletes, and even determines the outcome of the Super Bowl. Go Saints. And then there's the hipster Jesus. Just love one another, give peace a chance, imagine a world without religion, all you need is love. There's a life coach Jesus that people believe in who encourages us to reach our full potential, to reach for the stars and invest in a good 401k plan. Then there's the New Age Jesus, who hates organized religion and churches and pastors and preachers and doctrine, and would rather have people out in nature finding the God within them and listening to ocean sounds on their wireless earbuds. And then there's the good buddy Jesus, where he is nothing more than the man upstairs. Jesus is my good buddy. I don't need to go to church. God and I have an arrangement, and we're just fine. I tell you what, there are a lot of opinions about who Jesus is. And if you want to have a good gospel conversation starter, ask someone, who do you think Jesus is? And I bet, bottom dollar, that you probably won't get someone that would give you a biblical understanding of who Jesus is. But every person must come to some opinion about who Jesus is. Jesus pointedly said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Jeremy Bowden was the producer of a British Broadcasting Corporation documentary about Jesus. And he said this, "The important thing is not what he was or what he wasn't. The important thing is what people believed him to have been. A massive worldwide religion numbering more than 2 billion people follow his memory. That's pretty remarkable 2,000 years on." He could not have gotten that more wrong. Because it's not a matter of what we think Jesus to be. It's a matter of who Jesus really is. You cannot simply ignore Jesus. You must come to an opinion of who he is. Who do you say that I am? That question still lingers today. C.S. Lewis, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia series, you may have seen some of the movies, maybe you've even read some of the books. He said, when you think about who Jesus is, as he's presented in the scriptures, you really only have three conclusions that you could come away with. He is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is a Lord of glory. When you read about him and his claims, he's either a liar. He's either the greatest con man in the world. But if he was a liar, if he was making it all up, everything he taught about God is wrong. It's a lie. But when I think about that, who would die for their own lie? Who would allow himself to go to the cross? At some point before the Sanhedrin or Herod or Pilate, at some point, if Jesus was making it all up, he would have simply confessed and said, you know, listen, I'm just in it for the chicks, all right? I'm just in it for people to follow me. Or else he's a lunatic. His own family, early on in his ministry, thought that Jesus was mentally unstable. A couple fries short of a happy meal. And they had actually found him out and said, yeah, we need to take him home because he's not well. However, could a crazy man speak such great words of wisdom that Jesus spoke? Could a crazy man give us the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule and such great spiritual insights? Could a crazy man perform the great miraculous wonders that we see Jesus performing in scriptures? There is only one conclusion that we can make when we look at the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is the Son of the living God. We can't come away with any other conclusion. We cannot simply say that Jesus is a good man. We simply cannot say that Jesus is a good teacher. Not when he claimed to be God in the flesh. He is Lord. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? That is the greatest question ever asked. And it requires you to make a response. Peter, on behalf of the other disciples, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He took his stand. Everyone else may be believing something different about you, but I'm going to stand here with my brothers in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is the only answer that can receive the blessing of God. Because we see that Jesus' response to Simon Peter's declaration is, blessed are you, Simon Peter. And listen, when we come to understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we are blessed. And we have a blessed life because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Think of the many blessings we have because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. How about the blessing of forgiveness? The Bible says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus came to this earth for the purpose of dying for your sins, so that you and I will not have to stand in judgment for our sins, but when we receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives, every single sin that we have ever committed or ever will commit is forgiven. We will not have to account for any one of those sins ever. Is that something to be thankful for? That is a blessing of faith in Jesus Christ. And we have not only the blessing of forgiveness, but we have the blessing of having a meaningful life. You know, Jesus said that I came that they might have life and that more abundantly. You know, many people today are living miserable lives. They're filled with discouragement and despair and despondency. They're going through the motions of life trying to figure out why they are here. You know, some of you may remember when I was here several months ago that I had mentioned that I'm retired from the Air Force. Spent 22 years in the Air Force, and as I was preparing to retire, my boss at that time said, Brian, now that you're getting ready to retire, what are you going to do with your life? And I said, well, I'm going to finish up my seminary degree. I'm pastoring a church, going to continue to pastor and minister to people as God gives me the opportunity. And he says, I'm glad you have a plan because I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. And he's 40 years old. And there are many people today that just don't have a grip on the meaning of life, but Jesus Christ gives us life and that more abundantly. And he gives us a changed life. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And some of us want to say, amen, praise God. Because if you were saved as an adult, maybe an older adult, you look back on your life and you say to yourself, what a knucklehead I was. Can I say knucklehead? Because if I can't say knucklehead, let me know I can't say knucklehead. If you got saved as a young child, as a teenager, you know, you may not have had a whole awful lot of stuff you needed to repent from. But those of you who came to faith in Christ as an adult, you look back at your life. And to know that you're forgiven. And you no longer have to be that man or woman. All things are made new. And here's the great part. Through faith in Christ, we are no longer defined by our past. Through faith in Christ, we are no longer defined by our worst mistakes and our failures. All things have been made new. And another blessing of faith is that we have a connected life. Jesus says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Excuse me, John said this. To as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Through faith in Jesus as Lord, we are connected to God as his children. And we are connected to one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. In Matthew's gospel, we see in that verse 18, Jesus says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, we are a part of God's church, God's family of faith. We don't have to be alone anymore. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us that connects us to the Father, but we also have one another. As I said, I've been in the military and traveled around quite a bit, but everywhere I've been, there have been God's people that I could connect with and not feel alone. But of course, one of the greatest blessings is a blessing of eternal life. This is what John says in 1 John chapter 5. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. If you ask someone today, if you were to die today, do you think you would go to heaven? If you would ask someone that. And I venture to guess that most people would say, I hope so. Right? Most people would say, I hope so. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we do not have a hope so faith. We have a know so faith. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. Without a shadow of a doubt, you can know that heaven is your eternal home, not because of how good you are, but because of how great God is and the greatness of His salvation. The Apostle Peter gives us a little insight into what that's like. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." What a wonderful place heaven is. I just preached a funeral last Saturday afternoon. Graveside service was like 110 degrees outside. And talking about heaven, I remembered the great Baptist preacher R.G. Lee said that heaven is the most beautiful place the mind of God could conceive and the hand of God could create. What a wonderful blessing of faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But if you have a different understanding of who Jesus is, understand this. There is only judgment available for you. You might say, "Preacher, that's pretty exclusionary, isn't it?" And I said, "It's Bible." This is what the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it said, "Our Lord Jesus will punish anyone who doesn't know God and won't obey His message. Their punishment will be eternal destruction, and they will be kept far from the presence of our Lord and His glorious strength." Many of us can probably quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal, age-abiding life." But as we read on to verse 18, it says, "He who believes on Him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." Everyone stands under the condemnation and judgment of a holy God until they receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. So when Jesus says, ask that question, "Who do you say that I am?" That is the most important question that could ever be asked. And your answer will determine eternity. I did my undergraduate work at Northwestern State University, NSU down in Natchitoches. And I took a political science class, and the professor rarely showed up to the class. When he did, he talked about stuff that wasn't even in the book, and he never gave a single test, never asked for us to write a single paper. I'm thinking, easy A. And then we come to the end of the semester, and he says, "Well, I suppose I ought to give you a final exam." And he gave a final exam that had one question. And of course, it was an essay question. And the question was this: "Tell me everything you know about the development of the two-party system in America." And someone had the nerve to say, "Well, how long should the essay answer be?" And he said, "Until you told me everything you know about the development of the two-party system in America." That one question would determine whether or not you passed that class. The one question that will determine the difference between heaven and hell and passing from this life into an eternal life of glory in the presence of our Father, who do you say Jesus is? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray for all who hear my voice and hear your scriptures. I pray, Father, that everyone in this room would have come to that decision in their life where they recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. But Father, I know that in every gathering of people that there are those who are on the fence, those who come to a lesser opinion of who Jesus is. Father, I pray for them this morning that you would reveal to their heart by your Spirit exactly who Jesus is and how their life can be blessed through faith in him. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. With head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This portion of the service is what is referred to as the invitation time. We are inviting you to respond to God's word, perhaps one of several ways. Perhaps you've realized this morning that you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You've had a lesser opinion of him than what scriptures present. Perhaps this morning you'll want to turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. Call out to God and say that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Perhaps there's another decision you need to make today. Maybe you have not shared your faith. You've kept silent about who Jesus is in your life. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe God's calling you into Christian ministry and service. This is the opportunity for you to do all that God has placed upon your heart.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.